Hey everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is a quick hit from Nashville Night 2. We're joined by Justin Bruce, who's been on the podcast before. Welcome back, Justin.
Hey guys, good to be back. Thanks for having me.
So let's not bury the lead here. You got to meet Trey yesterday, you know, which is, there was also a fish show. So why don't we start by you just telling us how that came together and what that was like?
Well, I don't know if anyone remembers from last year in Nashville, but our Twitter friend at Drew Fish got in the sound check with his composer pal, Don Hart, who lives here in the Nashville area and has worked with Trey, orchestrating lots of his side projects, and including Petrichor a couple of years ago. But I'm also friends with Don Hart, and Don's very gracious and said, "Hey, man, I know you love fish. Why don't you come sit with me and my family for the shows?" And I think I'll probably be able to get us into the sound check, and he was able to, and it was really awesome. It's every fish nerd's dream come true to watch sound check. It was literally our little group and Bob Ezrin, and that was about it. And we got to watch sound check, and then afterwards Trey came and chatted it up for a good 20-25 minutes. Wow. And was super gracious, and we talked about his family, Don Hart's family. His daughter was there. You could just really tell that at the end of the day, Trey is a family guy, a family man. And it was just like a couple of old friends touching base. But we also were able to sort of work our fish geekery. Drew was brave enough to request a tweezer fest. And although we didn't have a tweezer festapalooza like Drew requested, we did get the first tweezer of tour. So kudos to him for having the cojones to do that. I just said, "I'm really glad that you guys play in Nashville now." And he was very very kind about Nashville and had lots of nice things to say. Of course, he's been here recording many, many times, but it was awesome. And at the very end of the conversation, before he went backstage to take a nap before the show, I got to take a picture, and it was great. I will not lose that picture anytime soon.
That is awesome. And I feel like if I've never met Trey, I met Mike, you know, as most people have, I think. I'm not even sure what I would say, but I guess it's maybe a little easier because you had a group and you could sort of ease in that way. But were you pretty nervous?
I was okay, because it was a big group, and you know, I was definitely kind of the person who had the least right to be there. So you know, there was lots of family talk first, and then we kind of circled around to other topics. But we did get to talk about a couple of musical things. He actually told told us a couple of stories, and you may have seen these on Twitter, but other folks who haven't, I'll just mention them again. Bobby is the one who requested wanting to sing "Miss You" night one, which you guys have talked about. I thought that was cool, because I mean, who knows how this stuff transpires. Also, I think it was night one, in set one, but before Bobby came out in set two, I guess Bobby's microphone was set up and kind of accidentally set one. So when they played "Lawn Boy," it was kind of like a, "Hey, Paige, get out there, sing "Lawn Boy," and they weren't really expecting to. So that was kind of an off the cuff moment that who knew. So he gave us lots of little tidbits like that. Yeah, it was very, very cool. Something I won't soon forget.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I saw Drew was sort of tweeting about the summary of the conversation, including the Bobby thing. Which is great. I'm so glad you got to hang out and do that. That's really great, especially for a hometown show. Must have rounded out your week nicely. I know I'm looking forward to meeting you tomorrow in Atlanta. You must be pretty tired, but hopefully you'll rest up tonight and be ready to go for the weekend.
Man, there's nothing like a couple of fish shows in your hometown, and then a couple more fish shows just a few hours drive away to help you make the grind into work a success. Yeah. If Schwartz play in Nashville, I will forego sleep for as many nights as humanly possible.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned the Bob Weir sit-in. We talked about that yesterday on the quick hit. But I'd love to just get your overall impressions of the run, and then maybe dive into detail on night two.
Yes. So just about the Bob Weir stuff, I thought it was awesome. I thought the fact that they jammed out Twist and it quickly went type two, and it had a real kind of Grateful Dead, late '60s, early '70s kind of vibe to it. It was almost like Mike was kind of doing Deep Into the Jam his best Phil Lesh impression. And I mean that kind of sincerely and in a complimentary fashion. I thought it was awesome. I thought that the Bobby sort of approach to the lyrics on Miss You was really, really cool, even though they may not have been, you know, perfect. I thought it was really, really awesome. And they went into playing in the band to wrap it all up, you know. But what a capstone on an awesome set.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, that night one was great. But, you know, on to night two. Night two was pretty hot as well. No complaints about the second show. And how awesome is it to have these back-to-back shows where you don't have to travel 4 or 5 hours to see the next show the next night?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And what were kind of your highlights from set one? There's a lot, as with a lot of the sets, I think, this year, but this tour as well, a lot of songs, like 15 or so. What were your highlights?
I thought, one quick comment about the venue, and I was like in the pavilion both nights, so kind of a little closer to the stage. It is loud, and that is fantastic. So, you know, when I'm re-listening to stuff just over Live Fish through headphones, it sounds great, but in person, up close, I mean, it was amazing. I thought Petrichor was great. I like Petrichor a lot. The crowd was a little restless when it started, but by the end, I felt like everyone was kind of a convert. I thought that Halfway to the Moon, especially kind of a little bit of extended jamming, was fantastic. I love that page tune. It's so awesome. The nice little micro jam nod to Jonathan in Tube was also great. It's kind of like trying to look at my watch, like, okay, all right, it's gone longer than like five and a half minutes. Yeah, this is a jammed out Tube. So that was pretty cool. But those, I think, were my set one highlights.
Awesome. And then set two, we got the tweezer that we were waiting for, but a pretty good golden age to start off the second set.
Yeah, I wondered if maybe the golden age was going to keep on going until they sort of shifted into tweezer, but the golden age was great. And then, of course, the tweezer was fantastic. I mean, I think it warrants listening to the whole thing. I think if you just jump in like the middle of it, maybe it won't be quite as fantastic, but I thought the tweezer was great. I thought it was really melodic. Page and Mike hooking up, it seemed to me, a lot in that jam. Truth be told, when I was actually there watching the show in person, I think things were most intense during the jam in No Man and No Man's Land. And, you know, there was a jammed out tweezer, there was a jammed out hood, it was pretty intense during No Man's Land. So if people are listening, they just crank it up as loud as possible. And I thought that was a little more soaring than maybe it had been in prior versions this tour.
I thought so too. Yeah, they kind of came back to like a little bit of a glory jam chord, you know, progression there, which is really fun. And I thought that's the same thing even after listening to the tweezer in the Golden Age. That's a really great, that's a good highlight. And then the hood, I shouldn't even say this, but I haven't listened to the hood yet. I mean, even though it's my favorite Fish song, but it is long. Did it veer into sort of the minor jam sort of area, or what was that like?
It was interesting. I wondered if they were actually going to go back into Plasma when they were jamming it. To me, especially Page and Fishman were kind of sprinkling in like Plasma type elements into the hood jam. So I legitimately wondered if they were going to segue back into Plasma, but they didn't. So a jammed out hood, I would imagine Paul type two, was fantastic. One thing I did notice was, you know, there's the call and there was the woos. And whenever I'm listening to something and I hear the woos, I'm like, oh my goodness, this crowd, like, I don't want to hear woos, but the woos happen because Trey wants them to happen.
Right, the lights
flash on into the crowd. I mean, you know, it's just the crowd giving the band what they want. But, the hood jam was a lot of fun. They during sound check spent a bit of time on Plasma and then after sung the vocals. So that was one song that we heard during sound check that I was pretty confident they were planning to play that night. But that was one thing I did notice about the hood was that it sounded a little Plasma-esque to me, and I've been humming Plasma all day long without intending to. So that was pretty awesome as well.
Nice. We'll let you get back to your job in a minute, but what are you looking forward to in Atlanta, or what have you been thinking about the Atlanta shows?
I don't know. I mean, I think they've done a pretty good job. There's just so much material now, and I'm a big Bo fan. One thing that I think may happen is that at least in the sound check before Nashville Night 2, they spent a lot of time on Home and really jammed it out, which makes everybody happy. But they also, it seemed to me, were kind of talking about how they could stretch out and extend I Always Wanted It This Way. So they were spending a lot of time on the new Page tune. So I
Nice.
think maybe we'll get a couple of extended Page sort of songs one of the nights in Atlanta. So that's maybe something I'm looking forward to. But I actually told this to Trey when we were talking to him during sound checks. You guys can play whatever you want as long as you're happy. We're happy because he when they played, I think they played Fuego night one in Nashville, and Trey said that Paige sort of leaned over to him right when they started, and he was a little worried, and he said, "Didn't we just play this in Charleston? Are people going to be upset?" I thought that was kind of funny, but they can play whatever they want, and I feel like the band is really clicking on all cylinders. So I think we're going to have a fun time in Atlanta. Can't wait for both nights there.
Awesome. Yeah, same here. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person tomorrow, and I think the I've Always Wanted It This Way is, I think that's my favorite that I've heard so far. That was just a great, and that didn't even go out that far, but just different kind of jamming. So a lot of good stuff on tap, and I'm looking forward to hanging out and watching the show with you.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time. So yeah, we got a lot of tour left, and I feel like things are already in the right direction. They're not even headed there; they're already there. So everybody just needs to enjoy it while it lasts.
Absolutely. And what do you want to send folks out with in terms of music?
Ooh, good question. Good question. I've thought about this, and I think everybody should listen to the No Men and No Man's Land and the Plasma and the Hairy Hood just kind of in succession. But maybe if we gave them part of the Tweezer, maybe like minutes 10 through 15, I think that would make people pretty happy.
Perfect. Done. All right, Justin, thanks so much for joining us.
Sounds good, RJ.
All
Thanks
right.
for doing what you do. Appreciate it.
Always. Yep. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Keep on rocking.